Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at salmonash.com because you deserve what's right. We're back here on this Thanksgiving week on a Tuesday, of course, which is the dead day in the NFL, meaning that not much going on. There's no media availability, but there's always something to talk about, especially when it comes to the Raiders here on Raider Nation Radio. And bringing in my teammate, we have a big, long bench here, right? We have so many great folks here, and this guy gets it all started for all of you every morning. That, of course, is Mr. Clay Baker, part of the Pritch and Clay morning show on Raider Nation Radio. It's good to keep you awake another hour at least, Clay, having you here back on Silver and Black Today. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm good, thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, as well as you and everybody out there on Raider Nation, because, yeah, this is a time to be thankful for a lot, man, especially coming off like a loss to the Chiefs. But there's a lot in the afterglow that makes you feel like, yeah, I think we're all grateful to be here.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man. I've been saying that all day and all week, clearly, as we reflect on that over the holiday. But when you look at this game, Clay, you were there. Q and I were there as well. Q stuck on a plane. That's why he's not here with us today. He was bummed because he wanted to talk to you again. But, you know, you look at that game, and I came in on Tuesday. I listened to your show in the morning, and it really buoyed me because I thought to myself, okay, how is Raider Nation when they call in? Because we get such great calls here, such great fans of the team, members of Raider Nation who follow their team do or die. And sometimes they can, you know, they get very emotional, they get upset. But I started listening to your show Monday morning. I was like, wow, this is a different look at a loss than I think I've seen in the last 3 years I've covered the team. What's been your view there? Kind of what has been the overall impression you've gotten from folks you've talked to in the morning about this loss and about the team moving forward towards Atlanta?
You know, Raider Nation is a culture that, you know, they get upset because they don't accept average. You know, anything average they are uncomfortable with and below average is intolerable. Mm-hmm. And I think for the overall collective, you won't find a smarter group of fans. And it's a lifestyle. But it's also, you know, this game was so big in the magnitude of it on national TV that the takeaway from all the fans that called in and on Raider Nation Radio that day, especially to our show, it was like, you know what? We looked great. We were just a handful of plays away. I'm not disappointed, but I'm not upset either. And I was like, that was every call. Like, even the most emotional, devout fans all had that kind of same mantra that they felt like, you know what? They look great. You're proud of your team again on national TV. And sometimes you and I go into a game where we scrutinize every little thing, you know, because kind of like what we do. But Arena Nation really absorbed the emotions of the game like no other fan base. And I think they came very satisfied with the fact that the Raiders not only hung in there, but they were just minutes within victory.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think what I've seen too, Clay, from the folks who call in the afternoon, is that they really are starting to, this is a fan base that is so loyal, and they've stayed with their team through 20 years of just some horrendous football. They've had a couple bright spots here and there, but I got the sense that, for me covering the team over the last 3 years, I got the sense that there's now buy-in, not necessarily on every player or every game, but there's buy-in on where this organization is headed, where they're going, that they're going down that path of success. And yeah, they might not be at the finish line yet, Clay, but the way that they're doing it is the right way for once, and they feel good about it.
Yeah, even if you weren't a fan of the Raiders, if you just observe the way John Gruden and Mike Mayock have not only built this team, but the way the offense clicks, that you're like, this is, I'm convinced, like, this is a very, very strong team and a fun one to watch. Everything that they have done in their evaluation process, there's no promise of a new day. Like, everyone is turning around very, very nicely and contributes. And when you have all that working together, you say the way the offense looks so great and completely delivers, the defense is one in which you're willing to, like, go through some growing pains with younger players.
Right.
You're willing to take, you know, to a point, unsportsmanlike penalties, crazy stuff like John Abram running with the ball when the whistles were blown, and then you got to blow a timeout. Like, it's better than having older players that you can see that aren't a right fit and younger players that are studded with talent that you're like, I'm willing to wait for this and see how this pans out, because I would rather have that kind of young, aggressive talent overachieving than anything else.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, we're talking to Clay Baker from the Pritch and Clay Morning Show here on Raider Nation Radio. And I agree with you on that. That's why the signing of Vic Beasley and Tack McKinney, I think those are more about injuries and just having some bodies because of the unusual season we've had. And, of course, because of the injuries the Raiders have sustained, whether it be COVID or other injury. Because you're right. I like the fact that, listen, they might have guys that are young and struggling, but they rather have them learn on the job. And oh, by the way, while they're learning on the job, they're still winning ball games, so that's big. Now, Clay, we look at the rest of the schedule. Of course, going to Atlanta this weekend, I think this is a scary game in that the Raiders have all of the skill set, the offense, and everything to go down there and win, and I think they should win, okay? At the same time, you're facing an Atlanta team that's got nothing to lose. They have a high-powered offense. I mentioned they're the second-best passing offense in the NFL. If the Raiders aren't careful, if the Raiders don't click, especially offensively, because the defense is going to give up points, they're going to give up yards, we know that. But if they don't go down there and take care of business, this has, I think, the scary proposition of becoming a game that could really take things in the wrong direction should they not show up. But I don't have any indication that they won't show up.
I don't either, but this is the classic letdown, isn't it?
Yes.
This is like where you get built up for Sunday night and everything is emotionally on high and maxed out, and then you travel to the East Coast to the dark and gloomy, Atlanta Falcons home, 3-7. We know Matt Ryan can be dangerous. They haven't just figured out how to win yet, though. And that's not our problem. The Falcons do so many bad things on defense and collectively on special teams that they know that they have to play like a perfect game to defeat the Raiders. But the Raiders have not once overlooked any opponent, not in any phase. And when you have all this combining into a game that has so much matter, I don't think you're going to see a let-up. In fact, what I do see is a lot of points scored early in this game and then salting it away with the run game. I think that maybe you even see a little Nathan Peterman, at the end. I mean, not to overlook
that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good thing. I think just to give guys a rest and just say, look, we'll just salt away this win, because that's how it needs to be with Atlanta. And you have to put an exclamation point on this, because when you go up to the New York Jets, you've got a defensive coordinator up there, Greg Williams, that has players looking to end other people's careers. The amount of personal fouls that are taking place on these Jets games, and that team is just surly and awful, and a lot of those players won't be there next year. They're going to look for game tape, and Greg Williams is the kind of guy that can be a little bit sadistic, kind of like Mr. Fuji of the NFL, ready to do something dangerous. And next thing you know, he's whipping out a cane or blowing dust in your eyes.
Clay Baker, I love it, man. Because you have that Falcon game, and then you have the Jets, like you just mentioned. So you have these two East Coast games back-to-back, right? And it's very easy, I think, for some teams to let down. I think they're this Raiders team, though, and having veterans like Jason Witten and those guys in the locker room who say, hey, listen, you're coming off a big game, but you can't let down against anybody. This is a team in the Raiders at 6-4 that is trying to show and prove that the program is working, to try and show that they are a playoff team. And it doesn't get easier because they close the season at home for three straight, right? But they're all big AFC games, the Colts, the Chargers, and the Dolphins. The Colts and the Dolphins, both playoff contenders. The Chargers are not, but the Chargers are also learning to win now, and they have a lot of talent. So as much as I hear, Clay, this conversation about the Raiders' schedule being one of the easiest on the back end, it does not get easier.
Really lucky, because I work with a guy like Mike Pritchard who not only has the ability to strategize in different ways and take a young team through a season and go behind the curtains, but he's able to communicate it as well. Mm-hmm. And what he said today was, had they won against Kansas City, you would have then started having entire team meetings with both the older and younger players, offense and defense, and you're looking at the schedule to say, this is what's ahead of us. But Raiders are at a point where there are some younger players that need to learn lessons, and you don't quite get them there yet. You take some of these younger players and you just focus on the task at hand in Atlanta. But the older players will know, like you said, Jason Witten, and you get even like Gabe and Rodney, you look at the bigger picture and you put that in their hands. So they also know what they need to do this week, but down the road, how this thing needs to be a sequence of events. And everything needs to rise to a certain point. And therefore, it's not so jagged and raggedy after one game. I think that's what's going to happen. Chris said the veteran players will get different meetings this week and from here on out, and the younger players will still be learning the task at hand to make sure that they don't lose the moment.
That's right. Clay Baker from the Pritch and Clay Morning Show here on Raider Nation Radio joins us. And Clay, I want to talk to you about the AFC because, you know, the Raiders, I picked them to win 9 games preseason. I think they should, without a doubt now, in my view, win 10. But you look at the playoff situation in the AFC, and it is tough, man. You have the Steelers in the one seed, the Chiefs right now, and of course the Steelers are undefeated. 9-1 Chiefs, then the Bills, Colts, Titans, Browns, and Raiders is the number 7 seed at 6-4. And of course, the Raiders beat the Browns, so they have a nice little tiebreaker there. But then you got the Ravens at 6-4. Now they have a COVID outbreak. They're in trouble. But you have the upstart Dolphins, and Brian Flores, a great head coach, young head coach at 6-4. And then it falls off with the Broncos and Patriots at 4-6 there. But there could be a possibility here, Clay, where you have a 10-win AFC team that does not make the playoffs. So for the Raiders, they might need to start to think about 10-11 wins if they really want to assure themselves a playoff spot.
Oh, man, you're right. Instead of, like, worrying about four out of six, winning 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
That's a daunting task, but not impossible.
Right.
You know, what about, like, having, you own, like, a tiebreaker now over the Raiders and Dolphins thanks to a better conference record? And all that stuff starts to get eliminated because you know the Dolphins aren't going to be totally swayed by last week's loss, right? And the Chargers, you beat them before they kind of knew how good Justin Herbert was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all these things are going to kind of like roll right back in, and I don't believe for a second that the Broncos aren't ready to play spoiler at the end of the year. This is one of the biggest challenges, and everyone likes to say, like, you look at the first part of the schedule for the Raiders, like, wow, what a, you know, a struggling, any team would have struggled against this, you know, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, but it's these last games which are the scariest. I would like to see, though, with the Colts game, like, you see, like, the Colts at 7-3, that looks like a 10-win team, doesn't it? And the Bills are 7-3. That looks like a 10-win team. And, of course, we know the Chiefs are 9-1. So, yeah, there's going to be some people left out of this dance. And the Raiders, for themselves, have to keep on this pace. I think it's kind of good, though, in this regard, that at least with some of the isolation and the bubble activity the team has to go through, that they are completely void of distractions. All you have to do is just stay out of the COVID reserve list. And I think they'll come out on top because there are other teams there that aren't going to do so well, like the Patriots, and I'm still not sure about the Ravens. So every team in their way has as many faults as you could ever imagine, and the Raiders, they don't really have that many problems on that side of the ledger.
No, you're right, and even with Thanksgiving, you know, the players are not allowed to go to big family gatherings. I think they're having a dinner over at the facility, so no big families coming in and visiting. So the Raiders are getting serious about that because they've already lost too much because of that, so they got to do everything they can to mitigate it. Now, Clay, you got your show tomorrow before we're off on Thursday. What do you guys got going in the morning tomorrow?
Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be beautiful. It's a best of show.
Oh, it is. Great.
We're doing a best of show because I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving with my son on Wednesday instead of Thursday. And we will have, I did a mix of the last couple days of the shows, of mixing up the wonderful perspective and insight of all the callers, calmer than can be, man. I'll tell you what.
Nice.
And you and I were expecting World War III on the phone on Monday.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like that at all. And we mixed in the interviews we did with Jason Fitz, Vinny, as well as Molly Sullivan, and a lot of good stuff. And also, we're going to have the replay of Pritch telling them the story of how James Brown visited the Falcons practice in 1991, and they ran a play for him.
Oh.
Can you imagine doing a pitch sweep to James Brown?
No. I love James. Yow! Kiss myself. Yeah, the Eddie Murphy, right?
God, I'm a man. It's going to be good for 3 hours, man. We'll have a fun time.
Oh, that's awesome. You can't miss that tomorrow. And by the way, I mean, Clay, you and Pritch do such a great job. That's how I start my mornings, right? I have you guys going. It's like it drives my wife nuts because I have you going. I'm listening on the Raiders app on my phone at the kitchen table, and I have Good Morning Football. And, like, I mute one when I'm listening to you guys. And when you guys go to a break, I unmute the NFL Network. And she's like, how do you do that? I said, hey, I'm trying to to catch up. I got to catch up. What's going on? But always
saying like, why do you do that? Is what she's really trying to say. I know that translation. Your wife is a saint.
Exactly.
I'm gonna tell you, a saint.
Exactly. She is. She puts up with me. But make sure you do. Just wake up in the morning, put the coffee on, tune in to Pritch and Clay every morning here from 7 to 10 a.m. on Raider Nation Radio. Clay, my friend, have a great, wonderful Thanksgiving with your son, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, thank you to both you and Hugh, as well as Chris back there in the studio. Have a great, safe Thanksgiving. Thanks again for your time.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. There you go. Clay Baker from our morning show here. You will not meet a nicer guy in radio. I'm telling you right now. Clay is the real deal. Good dude. And I wish him the best with his son tomorrow, celebrating Thanksgiving a little bit earlier. Catch the best of the James Brown story, by the way. You got to listen to it. It's worth tuning in just for that one. But they do great radio every single day. So make sure you tune in. Okay. We're going to take a break when we come. Oh, we're going to get a caller first. Yeah, let's get a caller in first, Chris. Let's do that. Brian, you are on the Silver and Black Today here with Scott Branson on Raider Nation Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
Hopefully, Clay's still listening. But Clay and Pritch, I've been listening to them for 26 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
If not, I've been here 26 years. So, and when it was Mitch Moss and Clay Baker.
Yeah.
So, anyways, met Q finally when he came in the other day.
Oh, good.
And hung out with him. And also, Lucille had a great time with them as well.
Yeah, the party at Stage Door, I heard, was great.
Yeah, so if nobody's ever met Q in person, he's a better guy in person. he's already a class act to begin with.
No doubt
same
about that.
You, same thing with you, Scott.
Well, I appreciate that.
I've talked to you as well.
I appreciate that.
But something that I don't think a lot of people are missing out on is just Pod Baby with Evan Grote and also Mo Moten. I see you guys are 1A, 1B, how you guys work. And what their last podcast, unbelievable. Please, listeners, listen to it in regards to Henry Ruggs and also Cleveland Farrell, what they have to say. I think it's head on what they're talking about. I don't think anything is wrong with Henry Ruggs. I think it has something to do with the play calling.
Yeah.
But, please give it a listen.
Yeah, Brian, no, I appreciate that because, yeah, Evan and the Just Pod Baby podcast are part of our family here at Silver and Black Today. They're teammates. Same with Mo, as you know, he writes for our website too. And Evan will be on the show tomorrow. But, yeah, you know what, that podcast, because when we put it out twice a week, I listen to it before it goes out. And it's phenomenal. I mean, you talk about breakdown and really and addressing the Ruggs issue and then what Farrell means to that defense. They do a great job. So, yeah, and you can subscribe to it anywhere you get your podcast. So I appreciate that. But Evan will be on tomorrow. He'll talk a little bit about that, too. Brian, have a good Thanksgiving, man. We appreciate you.
You too. Thank you. Just one more thing.
Yeah.
If you let Evan know that, and I wish they were on probably two or three times a week instead of once a week. That's my only downfall.
All right. I will tell them that. You got it, man. All right. Thanks, Brian. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of great Raider content out there. There's you know, professional podcasts. There's radio shows like ours that go up on the podcast feed. There's fan podcasts. There's great fan media out there. And, you know, Evan and Mo with Just Pod Baby, it's kind of a mix of pro and fan because Evan's a fan. But Evan's fan podcast approach is much different than I think other fans. You know, Evan looks at it through a critical eye. He's not overly critical. He's not a hater. I mean, he's a lifelong Raider fan. But he does it in a way, I think, which is really approach and really shows the yin and the yang, the positive and the negative together to round out the picture. And I know I'm biased because he's part of our media group, but he does a great job. By the way, how about this? Chapman, you ready for this? I just got a note from our podcast network. So we take the show every day. We put it up on the podcast feed. We are the number 5 sports podcast in the Philippines.
That's not surprising.
Isn't that interesting, though, that there's obviously we get a couple callers from the Philippines on this show.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Number 5 in the Philippines.
I don't know if you knew, but I actually used to live in the Philippines.
You did? You told me.
Yeah, I lived in Manila.
And then we're number 10 in Mexico. Number 20 in Spain, which is interesting because it's all soccer in Spain.
Yeah, yeah.
So
probably behind a lot of Real Madrid and Barcelona podcasts. But hey, for an American football team to make the list there, that's pretty good.
And we rank in Germany and Sweden. It's got to be like Air Force and military.
You know what?
People.
Actually, you know what? That probably explains Philippines. A lot of ex-military. No more U.S. bases in the Philippines, but a lot of ex-military guys live in Clark, around Clark Air Base. Uh-huh. And Germany, obviously, a lot of Americans there.
Huge German Raider Nation fan club, by the way. And when I was over in the U.K., because we did our show from the Raiders game last year against the Bears, I met people from all – Diego Garcia – like, oh, there's a fan club.
That is small. Like the middle of nowhere.
Right.
I think that's in the Indian Ocean, right?
Correct.
Isn't that like near
Correct.
Sri Lanka?
Yes. So
like literally middle of nowhere.
Yeah, he was there. But I'll tell you, as much as I'd love to say, well, this is because we do great radio, and I think that's part of the equation, but I also think that just shows the power of the Raiders brand.
Well, that's it.
And Raiders fans. I mean, I
grew up not too far from the Meadowlands, and mm-hmm. I have two family members who are Raider fans. They grew up in the shadow of Giant Stadium. And
well, that's because the Jets are so bad.
Well, yeah, but the Giants were good.
The Giants were good at that.
I mean, when I was a kid, the Giants won multiple
Lawrence
Super
Taylor,
Bowls.
Yeah. Phil Sims.
Well, we won't mention
Mark Bavaro.
We won't mention the other quarterback who won a Super Bowl with the Giants. Not a lot of fond memories with Raider fans with that guy. But,
no.
But yeah, I mean, I can remember going to games with my cousin. We went to a Jet Raider game one time at the Meadowlands, and he wore a helmet, Raider boxer shorts on top of those Raider Zubaz. Remember the
Zubaz
pants?
Yeah,
still.
The 80s.
Yep. And I think he had a Howie Long jersey.
Oh my gosh.
Hardcore.
Brave
hardcore.
Soul.
Yeah. And there were a lot of Raider fans at that game.
They're everywhere. I mean, I had a couple notes today from Raider fans who are going to Atlanta this weekend because they have limited capacity.
Yeah.
And so they're going, and so they were asking me, how can I listen to the pregame show when I'm there and all that kind of stuff. So they travel, man, and they are everywhere. Raider Nation is so freaking strong and so loyal that they'll go anywhere. So since they can't see the team here this year,
yeah,
they're going wherever they can go.
That reminds me. I was on a train in Japan, and it was like a elevated monorail type thing.
Yeah.
And it's more for show than it is. I mean, some people use it for work or commuting or whatever, but
like the one here?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And there was a little girl who got on the train, and she had, it did not say Las Vegas Raiders, but she had a Raiders t-shirt on, and a little Japanese girl. And I felt weird asking her parents if I could take a picture.
Yeah.
Because I was going to put it like, hey, here I am in the middle of Kanagawa, Japan,
fan.
And there's a little girl wearing a Raiders shirt, but yeah, I was like,
you didn't want to be the creepy old man.
I did not see anybody wearing Jets gear other than me. So
no,
especially after that Patriots loss.
That's funny too, because I used to spend some time with Coach Tarkanian when I was in San Diego, and he'd come down all the time. He would tell those stories that even to this day, when he was still alive, he would travel all over the world, and he'd be in an airport and he'd see a UNLV hat, and they'd instantly recognize him because he looked like Uncle Fester, and you can't miss him.
It never fails. I used to fly through Korea when I lived in Asia.
Yeah.
And every time I'd be in the airport in Korea, I'd see somebody wearing a UNLV shirt, UNLV sweatshirt, because I mean, UNLV is a brand, and it's pretty big over in Asia, especially Korea and Japan. We have a lot of students. You and I both UNLV grads, so I'll use the we.
Yeah.
We have a lot of graduates. We actually used to have a campus at the Raffles Hotel in Singapore. I was in Singapore, and I saw a kid wearing a UNLV t-shirt.
Amazing.
It was awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, the Raiders brand, the UNLV brand from 30 years ago is really strong. Okay, we are up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about that AFC playoff picture. The Raiders, do they need to win 10 games to assure that they're in the playoffs? I'm thinking yes. They're at 6 right now with 5 remaining. So we'll see what you guys think as well. Call in. Tell me what you think. 702-365-9200 is the number. You're here with Scott Colbranson on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Colbranson and Q Myers.
If Q were on today, he'd be very happy that Chapman is giving us that music coming back in. I know that's one of his favorites. Scott Colbranson here on Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio. My co-host Q off today, flying back to Texas from Las Vegas, where he spent some time. I know a bunch of you went out to his meet and greet, saw him at the Sahara Hotel, and he was at the game. We sat together at the game, which was nice. He's getting back home to celebrate Thanksgiving with his family. He'll be back on the show tomorrow and with me on Friday. So we'll be here Wednesday, Friday live here on Raider Nation Radio as the Raiders get set for Thanksgiving week, but they don't play on Thanksgiving. They play on Sunday. By the way, Thanksgiving games for the Raiders. For those of you that go way back with the Raiders played a ton of Thanksgiving games during the 60s. Then they played on November 26, 1970, 49 years ago. Okay, exactly a year and a day after I was born, the Raiders played the Lions, lost to them 28-14 on Thanksgiving, and then they did not play on Thanksgiving again for 39 years. And I know a bunch of you Raider Nation out there will remember this one. 2009, they finally, after 39 years, they returned to a Thanksgiving Day game, and they lost to the Cowboys 24-7 on November 26, 2009 on Thanksgiving and not have played since then. So would you like to see the Raiders play on Thanksgiving? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Chris mentioned, you know, they're such a big brand, you'd think they'd get them scheduled. But with the NFC-AFC rotating schedule, I don't know if it's possible. But a Thanksgiving game at Allegiant Stadium with the Raiders on Thanksgiving would be awesome. Just be cool as heck. 702-365-9200 is a number. Tell me what you think. Would you like to see the Raiders on Thanksgiving? Coming up, by the way, at 3:40, Vinny Bonsignor, who is on location today, will join us, and we'll talk to him, get the latest news, especially on the roster. I want to probe a little bit and find out what Vinny knows about the roster. Cleveland Furl coming back from COVID, LaMarcus Joyner, and others as well. So we'll talk to him about that in a minute. But we're going to go out on the phone lines. Our good friend, Matt in Hoboken. Matt, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
What's up? How you doing? I was going to call yesterday about the Chiefs game, but I was busy. I just want to give a couple quick points about that game and a couple points about the schedule going forward. Number one, I think even though we lost this football game, we proved a lot about what we have as a football team. I think we can definitely compete with the Chiefs, potentially better than anybody else in the AFC, potentially. I think that this game gave us some confidence. But I also think that it now raises the bar going forward for the rest of our schedule, because now this is a definite playoff team. And if we happen to drop an easy one to Atlanta or drop a couple more easy ones before the season is out and this team don't make the playoffs, I think that's a disgrace. So for me, it raised the bar, because if this team don't make the playoffs with what I've seen through 10 games so far, we got a problem.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, and Matt, we talked with you early on as the season was kicking off that, look, you're in year three of this rebuild program, and win totals last year, right, 7 wins, and I thought the bottom was 9. You needed to win 9 games. Now, at standing at 6, right, with 6 to go, you need to get to 10, in my view.
Well, this wild card race this year in the AFC is no joke.
It's
nuts. These teams keep winning.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. You got Indianapolis that's ahead of us now. Cleveland, even though we beat them, is a game ahead of us. Baltimore is right there with us, and they're no slouch. So we got a competition here down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you got, again, the Ravens are on that bubble. They're at 6-4, and they got all kinds of problems, but they still have talent, and I think they could turn it around pretty quickly. You have the Dolphins, right, who you think, well, they're going to hang around, but they might not be. But I still think they're a really well-coached team, and that sometimes can overcome things. And, you know, yeah, the Chargers are 3-7. There's a lot of teams, too, in the AFC, Matt, that I don't think will make the playoffs, but they could be really, really big spoilers, like the Chargers, who, I get it, the Chargers have all kinds of problems, but they're finding themselves offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right with that point, but I also think that going forward now, the margin of error for us is so small.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are saying that we have the easy part of the schedule coming up, which is accurate when you think in terms of records. But if we were to lose to an Atlanta team, or if we were to lose to a Miami team later on, or a Jets, any one of those combinations, we're in major jeopardy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's one thing to play really good against a good team, and that's what teams that are up and coming would do, like we're doing against the Chiefs, but it's a whole other level of maturity in a football program to play and win against the teams you're supposed to win against.
And that's what I'm saying, too, Matt. I said earlier in the show is you got to go on the road to Atlanta. They put up points. Anytime you face a team that can put up points like that, when your defense is not that good, is worrisome. Mm-hmm. You got to outscore them, so they got to do that. And then as bad as the Jets are, you got to go there, and you're coming all the way back to Vegas. practice, and then you got to fly back to the East Coast again. And with that is always the danger, right? That you let your guard down, and it happens again like it did last year. Now, I don't think they'd get blown out at the Jets, but you don't have to lose. You could lose by 1 point. It doesn't matter. So to me, you're right. I don't think there's any margin for error. And then you come home for three games, and then you finish the season in a cold and snowy Denver like it always is in January. So yeah, no, this team cannot let up. It's got to keep its foot completely on the gas.
Styles make fights in football, and like you were saying, I think you were alluding to this, the style of play that Atlanta plays, although they're not a great football team, is not really great for us.
Correct.
And the Jet game, I don't like the fact that they're winless, because in the NFL, you know, at some point they're going to play really good 1 week and win a game, and we're coming up.
Yeah. I think we lost you, Matt. Sorry, something went wrong with the phone. Apologize, man, but thank you for the call as always. Good stuff. Matt from Hoboken always knows his stuff. It is going on the line now. We'll bring in Susan on the Raider Nation hotline. Susan, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? Just want to wish you and everyone at the station and all Raider Nation happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Same to you and yours.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was going to call with a, you know, Thanksgiving Raider moment, and then you brought up the, you know, the Thanksgiving Day game. So I had a pretty life-changing experience with that. When that schedule came out, I had told my husband, hey, look, the Raiders are playing on Thanksgiving. You know, they haven't played since, like, 1972. And I said, we should try to go to that game. Well, lo and behold, he suddenly passed away in March of 2009.
Oh.
And Thanksgiving was his absolute favorite holiday. And I just kept thinking, I have three kids. The last thing that we want to do is be home alone Thanksgiving with him not there. And I got talking to a customer of mine. I was a hairstylist, and saying how, you know, I really want to go to that game, and him and his family wanted to go. So him and his wife and kid and me and my three kids, we all got together and we went to the game. And it was awesome. And so then we want to do the tour of the stadium, and we get there, and they're like, oh, sorry, guys, we just took the last tour. And we're like, come on, we're from Vegas. We came all the way here. So the guy's like, hang on a minute. And so he comes back. He's like, quick. So he piles us all into the elevator. Normally supposed to pay like $26 a person to go to the tour, and he's just let us all. We got to catch up with the other crew and just got to see the locker room, the cheerleaders locker room, we get on the field, and Daughtry's the halftime show, so he's out there.
Oh.
You know, they're practicing and playing, and you know, bummer we didn't win, but it was just for a bad situation. It was a great experience, and I'll never forget it. And you know, and it kind of reminds me, like, the new stadium, seeing how the two side doors open. You know, we've seen the whole tour of the Dallas stadium, you know. Yeah. I right away thought of that. And
what a nice moment, a light moment for you guys in the midst of tragedy, you know, having lost your husband and having kids, you know, that I can't even imagine. It's the thing that I worry most about with my kids and my family, right, is leaving them too early. But the fact that you guys have a little joy on that holiday and get you out of town and enjoy some football, that's fantastic. What a great story. We appreciate you sharing it with us.
Yeah, no, it really was. And I always said the same thing. I couldn't understand why the Raiders had gone from 72 to 2009 and not playing a Thanksgiving Day
right
football game. You know, it just seemed ridiculous, you know?
I know, and now it's been 11 years since then, and it's like they still haven't been on. So maybe now that they're in Vegas with this beautiful new stadium, maybe we'll get a chance at it. But, Susan, I hope your kids are doing well. Hope you're doing well. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for calling.
Yep, you have a great one. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care now. All right, there you go, Susan. Wow, what a story. And just shows you Raider Nation, man. Gosh, just so I hear so many stories like that of people, tragedy, you know, triumph, great times, rough times, and how the football brings everybody together. So that's fantastic. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vinny Bonsignor. He'll be with us here. We'll talk about the Raiders' latest roster news, who's coming off COVID reserve, who's not, and what's he hearing right here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey everybody, Scott Colbranson with Silver and Black Today with a message from my friend Salmon Ash Injury Law, the ones I trust. Did you know that on average you can recover 3.5 times more in settlements using a personal injury attorney than doing doing it on your own? And who you hire matters. Sam and Ash have recovered over $400 million in settlements, and while no one can guarantee your results, they have the experience to maximize your settlement with the least amount of time. So give my friends a call at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com because you deserve what's right.
The Raiders are looking to get back to their winning ways. And next up, they find themselves in Atlanta for a matchup with Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Listen Sunday, pregame starting at 8 a.m. on Raider Nation Radio 920 a.m. Raider Nation, you found your home. This is R&R 920 a.m. From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back here, Silver and Black today. Raider Nation Radio on this Tuesday, Thanksgiving week. By the way, tomorrow's show, we will be ready to go. Guests include Evan Grote will be with us. John Kincaid of the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports National, covers the Falcons, too, as he has for 20 years. He'll be with us, too. So make sure you're with us. Check it out. We've got some other surprises for you, too. So watch our Twitter feed for tomorrow, and you'll see some surprises as we do my birthday show. It's not really my birthday show. It is my birthday. I'm not really doing anything for my birthday on the show. We're just letting you know it's my birthday show because I love being with Raider Nation. So I, you know, some people take their birthdays off. I don't. I want to be here talking about it because you just never know when news is going to kick in. So we'll be here tomorrow live, and then we're off Thursday for the three NFL games. It'll be over the air, and then we'll be back on Friday morning. All right, we're going to go on the phone lines. Well, one last time before we get to Vinny Bonsignor, if I can spit it out. It is Charles. Charles, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, buddy? Hey, I had a few questions for you. Number one, you got to see David Irving play.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what you thought about him. And then the curious case of Tagma McKinley. If he's failed two physicals, how can he pass our physical? And then just what you thought of the Vic Beasley signing. Other than that, truly, there's just the three questions. The David Irving question is a big one. I want to see what you thought of him, if he's improving or if you think he's going to be any kind of player for us.
Well, I think
I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. I appreciate it, Charles. Number one on David Irving, listen, I think he's still acclimating to the system and all that. We've seen him a little bit, nothing to write home about, but I don't think that's concerning. I think, you know, he got injured this past game as well, and he's nursing that. But other than that, he just came off the COVID practice squad list too, as well, because of the close contact stuff. And so I think the jury's still out on him. I think he has the ability to be an impact player, but he hasn't played, right? He hasn't played in a couple of years, and so he's trying to get back into shape. I think he's a guy you look at long-term. Maybe he can contribute towards the end of the season if he comes along quickly enough, but we'll have to see. As far as the McKinleys, you know, you can have somebody fail a physical. It could be a hamstring or something, which I think is his issue, and then by the time he gets to the Raiders, maybe it's healed up better and he passes the physical. You don't know. We'll ask Vinny about that one for you, too. And the Vic Beasley, look, I think Jesse Merrick said it best early. He said they were going to have to pay him $9 million in Tennessee, and they let him walk. So I'm not real sure on him. But you know what? You got to bring bodies in, especially this year with COVID. The Raiders have had all kinds of injuries. They've had the COVID positives and the folks they've lost to the reserve list. So, you know, they're just doing their due diligence. Bring a guy in. It's not going to cost you anything. It's not going to really hurt anything. So why not give it a shot? And maybe you get somebody who's serviceable that can play some snaps for you. But I wouldn't be anything that I would be overly excited about. So hopefully that answers your question. All right, we're going out now to the Kona Grill. That's right, off of, I believe, Rampart and near Charleston in the Boca Park Shopping Center area. I'm very familiar with out there. And we bring in Vinny Bonsignor, of course, who hosts In the Huddle next, usually with Lincoln Kennedy. I know Lincoln's off today, so it'll be Vinny out there holding it down at the Kona Grill. Vinny, what's going on, man? You getting ready for Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. Although there's no, you know, off day or anything like that.
Yes.
We'll be out at the facility. The Raiders will be getting ready for the Atlanta Falcons. Just, texting some people over there with the Raiders, and they are full on getting ready for Falcons. I know it's an off day, quote unquote, but it really there's no off days in the NFL. So, you know, it's the most important game of the year right now is that Sunday game, and it's, you know, it's a sneaky big game. This Falcons game after what happened on Sunday, you know, against the Kansas City Chiefs, and then just the need and the importance of staying on track. You can't let what happened on Sunday night, you know, ruin next Sunday or the Sunday after that. There's a definite path available to the playoffs for the Raiders, but it's incumbent on them continuing to win. They need to get to 10 wins. I think that'll get it done, but ideally they want to get to 11 and secure as high a seeding as possible.
And Vinny, I know we talked about the Falcons earlier here on the show, the number two pass offense in the league, the number nine offense overall. And you look at the record and people get, I think, a false sense of security because the team can put up points. The game is at home. So that Raiders defense, which has struggled, you know, struggled against the Chiefs, that played better in the three games previous to that, they're now going to go down there and be faced with a Matt Ryan offense, and they can put up points. And so to me, the offense for the Raiders again is going to have to be the hero and step up. But how do you look at that Falcons offense and the challenge it presents for the Raiders on defense?
Well, anytime you're talking about you know, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, that's a challenge right off the bat. So as a defense, as a team, you just have to feel like, you know what, they're probably going to score some points. That's what they've done all year. They are a prolific offense, and especially in the pass game, it's a weakness for the Raiders. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. So if you're the Raiders offense, if you're Derek Carr, if you're John Gruden, you're automatically going in there thinking, believing it's probably going to take another 30 points plus to win this game, to make sure that you win this game.
Yeah, Matt Ryan looking for his third game in a row, over 275 yards passing. He's got a 105 passer rating during this little home stretch. Almost 400 yards and three touchdowns last week as well. Now, Vinny, we look at the other side on the Raiders, that COVID list, Clee Ferrell, LaMarcus Joyner. What are you hearing? I know you tweeted something out a little earlier, but what's the latest on those guys getting back on the field for that game in Atlanta?
Well, we'll see tomorrow and maybe even later on today. At some point, if these guys have cleared all the obstacles, they're going to get pulled off of the COVID list and be put back on the active roster. That hasn't happened yet, but it could happen any moment. And certainly by tomorrow, the hope and expectation is all three of those players are back. But if they're not, that's a little bit worrisome. So let's see what happens tomorrow when we get to practice and see who's out on the field. But, you know, there's no question that the Raiders need all hands on deck. We've been talking about that. To make the push that they want to make, they have to be as healthy as possible on defense and then some. You know, you talk about Vic Beasley, you talk about Tack McKinley. Can they provide any type of pass rush? Because that's what the Raiders are missing right now. There's other areas on the defense that needs to get better. They need to get more disciplined. You know, it's a young defensive secondary. We've seen some mistakes, a blatant one against the Kansas City Chiefs by Jonathan Abram. But boy, I'll tell you what, if they could find a way to create some juice up front, that would help a lot. And they're, you know, clearly leaving no stone unturned in that pursuit, bringing in Beasley and McKinley.
And Vinny, you've been so consistent, as have I, with Clee Ferrell, and the fact that, hey, listen, this guy is doing more than might show up in the stat sheet. If you're watching the film, you're watching them play like we do, you see it a lot, you focus it on a lot. So they go out against Kansas City in this game, and they don't get that push up front. They give up a little more against the run. I think the value of Ferrell there on the line, I think more people understand it now. And to me, to get him back on the field is one of those key priorities.
Yeah, you saw what was happening. They weren't able to contain the edge with Max Crosby, you know, it's been a weakness whenever anyone runs to the opposite side of Clee Ferrell, and on Sunday, it was right at his spot that he normally holds, and you saw the limitations of Max Crosby. Unfortunately, right now he's just not very good against the run. He's a pass rusher, and that's great, and he provides production in that area. But when it comes to stopping the run and standing up to the run, you know, there's issues there, and that's why you need Clee Farrell. And I know Clee Farrell doesn't come up with the big sack numbers, but he's steadily gotten better in terms of the pressures and the hurries and, you know, the non-sack-related pass rush statistics. Mm-hmm. So he's making an impact in that regard, but he's also one of the better edge setters in the NFL when it comes to that run game, and they need him out on the field. I know people get caught up on he was the fourth pick, so he needs to be Lawrence Taylor or, you know, somebody, a Hall of Fame caliber player. Look at the fourth picks overall over the last 20 years, and you can find out pretty quick that you're not getting a sure Hall of Famer every time you pick fourth. That's just not always going to happen. The thing I like about Clee is he's getting better almost on a weekly basis, and I think that there's ceiling there left, and especially in the pass rush. I think that's going to be a final piece to his arsenal, and if he can get better in there where he is coming up with those 8-9 sacks a year, along with what he does in the run game, the Raider fans are going to be really, really happy with what they got in him.
So, Vinny, I'm going to ask you this question. I know the answer already, which seems crazy that I'm going to ask you the question, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. Any news on Trent Brown?
Is that what they call a rhetorical question? I think that's the definition of a rhetorical question.
Oh,
right?
Man. Everybody, something
along those lines.
Yeah, everybody just wants, you know, the big man back because they're better with him there. At the same time, Brandon Parker, I mean, just continues, you know, just did so well against the Chiefs yet again. It's amazing when you see, and you've covered football for a long time, Vinny, when you see a player like that that's developmental, that just turns the corner so quickly, it's shocking for everybody, isn't it? Despite the fact that they knew he had talent?
Maybe for the fans.
Yes.
And that's why I always urge, you know, fans to you know, show some patience, be a little bit more patient. And I always tell the story. It doesn't relate exactly the same, but in some ways it does. You know, the Ram fans were going off the deep end on Jared Goff after six games, you know, of a rookie year on a terrible, terrible, terrible team that he had no weapons around him. But I got to see, you know, Jared Goff from OTAs, mini camps, training camp, and I would tell people he's not the problem. you know, it's everybody else that's the problem. Now, in Brandon Parker's case, I think what all fans can go on is what they actually saw in the games. And when he got his chances previously, he didn't take advantage of them. He wasn't quite ready to take advantage of them. But Raider coaches and the staff, they've seen him day in and day out in practice, and so they know what he's capable of doing, what the ability is there, what the ceiling is there. So in their eyes, there's no way you're going to give up on him, because they know what he's capable of doing. It was just a matter of getting it to happen, you know, on the field. And you're starting to see that happen now, you know, where he's starting to play more confident, more at ease, and that the natural ability is starting to line up with the confidence is matching up with the natural ability, and it's coming together for him. But that's why I say, fans, sometimes be patient.
Just chill.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Vinny Bonsignor live from the Kona Grill is coming up next with In the Huddle. Vinny, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and I'll see you at practice.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. There you go. Vinny Bonsignor coming up next in the huddle. Want to thank all of you for being with us today. Scott Branson, Damon Cotton, and of course, Chris Chapman. Yes, I had two engineers today. That's how lucky I am. I've been taken care of so well here by Raider Nation Radio. But we will be back tomorrow. We'll be back. Special guest host, actually, I forgot to mention, Hondo Carpenter will be with us, and we'll have Evan Grote, John Kincaid of the John Kincaid Show, National CBS Sports, as well as some other special surprises. For everyone here at Raider Nation, for everyone at Silver and Black Today, make sure you check out the website, silverandblacktoday.com. Follow me on Twitter, at LVGully and at yourboyq254. Q will be back tomorrow as well. You guys all have a great, great Tuesday evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.